Hello, everybody. This is Michael Trotta with the October cohort, 2015. Coach to Coach, Practicum 3, Class 4, Group E. Today is Monday, April 11th, 2016, and we're going to talk about wigs and moving from square 2 to 3 and a couple other things here and there in order to close out this practicum. You guys are really, like, on the other end of things now. The finish line will be before you know it, I promise you. But to help get you there, let's jump into questions. I'm going to just give you guys an opportunity to ask any questions about things that we've spoken about so far in this practicum. Go. I got to come up with a better way to get people to ask questions, but you guys have actually been... Sometimes it works. Really, honestly, you know what I do a lot is I'll say, go ahead, and I won't say anything, and then it just gets so uncomfortable that somebody finally says something. That works really, really well, and I recommend it with clients too, if I haven't said this to you already. Practice asking a question and just leaving some space for silence. And more often than not, clients will then show up with something that's really sitting there that they haven't, for one reason or another, didn't want to bring up or weren't sure if they should. It's pretty neat, and it's fun to play with. But you guys actually have been really active, and I was actually bragging about you on the instructors forum just a little while ago, today, in fact, about how well-prepared I think you've all been and having great questions and doing really phenomenal coaching. So I trust that if you have questions, you will ask them. So let's move on then. Today I want to talk just a little bit before we start coaching one another about the idea of moving from square 2 to square 3. I, on a personal level, love being in square 2. It is my favorite place to be. I can imagine creating things and making money for creating those things and being in wonderful places in my head all day long. I have come up with some pretty amazing ideas that as ideas, they are amazing. And then when putting them into practice and moving into square 3, it really hits the fan and very often realize, wow, this is really much harder than I thought. And this sort of thing happens with clients all the time. So what do you do there? And how do you help them transition from the ideal to the real? And we've been talking about things like turtle steps, super, super important. There are the things like tools like the 3 B's, better, bag it, barter it. And we'll talk a little bit more about those in a bit and potentially use them. And then there are things like wigs, wildly improbable goals. So in my made-up coaching session client in my mind right now, they show up sometimes in square 1, sometimes a little past square 1. This is never really linear. Very often they want something to be different, and they're already imagining a different possibility, but there's some square 1 stuff to work on. But then when the majority of them in what they've come to you for is in that square 2 place, and they're starting to want to actually make it happen, creating goals is really important as a way to know what direction you're going to go in, what you need to work on, and to have something that's measurable. And the idea of wildly improbable goals is, I think, the example Martha gives in her video. She talks about when she was a little girl, she just set some goals for like skis or something like that that she thought she could never get. I suppose you could do that with clients, just, what is it that you really want that you think you could never get? But more often than not, they have an idea of what they want. And one of the things that I like to do is to kind of push their edge a little bit with the goals or with the things that they say they want. And just a quick example I can give earlier on a call today. Somebody had said, And typically the goals are material things. I want to create this, or I want to move here, or I want to buy that. And that's totally cool. In this earlier call, it was about wanting to bring more joy into the person's life. And that was kind of a tough one to set a goal around. What does that look like? And so I just kind of body compassed it and created a scale. I said, okay, so if 0 is no joy and 10 is the most joy you can imagine, what is your average joy level, would you say? Just to create a reference point. I think they said something like 6. On average, they're around a 6. They've been higher, they've been lower, but most days it's a 6. I said, great. So what's a goal that you'd like to set for yourself then? And they were like, well, you know, if I could have an average of 8, that'd be great. Super. So there's their goal. But this is where I want to push the edge a little bit. And I go, what about a 9? And then they said, well, I'm starting to feel scared. And they legitimately were feeling fear around the idea of asking for that much joy. Right? Fear around joy. It's kind of neat how that happens. But that's how I knew we were moving into the realm of wildly improbable for them, seemingly improbable. Sometimes that's how these look. And so from there, what we would have done had we more time was start to break it down into smaller increments of, like, how much do you have on a daily basis and what are the things you do? Maybe take a look at their have-tos and eliminate some of them. Apply the 3 B's to things that are happening in their lives, all just to increase the everyday joy a little bit so that overall we can create a bigger joy level on the scale. That's an example of how I might use a wildly improbable goal with a person. And that was, to my mind, a very reasonable goal, and it wasn't all that improbable in the end of the day. Okay, just trying to think, where else do you get these wildly improbable goals from? Certainly while you're coaching somebody, you'll listen carefully, to, just like I was explaining, the things that they're saying and possibly push the edge. Tools like the ideal day, which I know we haven't done. I believe you're going to do it in future sessions. If not, I'll have to look up where you can find that. I know it's in the list of videos, totally worth watching. That's a tool where you walk a person through their ideal day. Very often that can yield lots of wildly improbable goals for the future. And then there's this other tool that we're going to talk about right now called, Martha called it, whizzing on the electric fence. Like, I think the idea is you pee on the electric fence and you get zapped every once in a while. So the way that looks with this tool is you ask a series of questions that they have to fill in. And I'm going to have you guys do that in just a second. So you're going to need a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. And I will say a really good place for these kinds of questions is in pre-work. If you guys haven't put together your own pre-work yet or intake form, whatever you want to call it, I think putting, I don't know, between 4 and 8 of these whizzing on the electric fence style questions can be very, very fruitful. Even if you know what you're going to help people with specifically, I can't tell you how often a person has come to me for something very specific, but we've wound up working on setting goals around something that they said in the series of questions that I ask, like these. In fact, some of the ones I'm about to ask you are ones that are on my pre-work. So why don't we just do them now, and then you guys can use them in your coaching sessions. So here goes. I have about 8 questions. I want you to just write simple answers. And notice where you're censoring yourself or where you're saying, well, that can't really happen, or I should or shouldn't want this thing. Write the answer down anyway, but that could also become something fruitful to work on, the resistance, if you have any. So any questions before we start? Question number one. I'm saying it in the first person, so it sounds like you're saying it to yourself. If I didn't care what others thought, I would blank. Write down whatever comes to mind. Number two. If I were sure that I was going to succeed, I would blank. Number three. If I had the nerve, I would blank. Number four. If I had enough time, I would. Number five. If I could create anything in the world, it would be blank. Number six. Number six is the one that almost everybody writes the same answer. We can test that out and see. If it wouldn't hurt anyone's feelings, I would. Number seven. If there were any one thing that I'd like to do before I die, it would be. Number eight, if money weren't an issue, I would. So we're going to stop there. Just curious. Anybody willing to share? And if you didn't have answers, you couldn't come up with anything, it's okay. That often happens too. Not really giving you much time to think about it. But just for fun. Somebody share what they put down for if it wouldn't hurt anyone's feelings, I would.
This is Bridget.
What'd you get?
So that was number six. Hi.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, that one that I just asked. You're right, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure because I didn't want to give the wrong answer.
No.
I think I would tell the truth all the time.
Yep, that's what almost everybody puts every time. Anybody else put something similar to that?
This is Russ. I said I would tell the people who really pissed me off, I would tell them off finally.
Yeah, very, very similar. Anyone else?
I said something similar. This is Donna. I said I would tell everyone how I feel.
Yeah. So I just want to point that out. I like that one a lot. Very common. It's a fun one to explore with people beyond what they're saying. What does it mean that you would tell everybody what you're feeling? Or why don't you tell everybody what you're feeling? Or what are you doing instead of telling people what you're feeling? All of those follow-up questions. And the answers they give you will often reflect and give you some information about where they're struggling in their life or things that they're struggling with. So just putting that out there, you guys can bring it up in this. It's not anything you're necessarily going to have as a wildly improbable goal, but it might. A couple of things I want to say before we start doing the coaching with these types of questions and listening for wildly improbable goals. Let's see. Things to listen for when goal setting. Listen to the size and distance of what it is that they're asking for. So, for example, can somebody give me their answer for if money weren't an issue, I would. Somebody come up with a good one for that.
This is Donna. Mine was I'd buy a place in Arizona.
Okay. So, Donna, if we were to set if you were to really kind of drop in and say, you know what, I'm going to buy a place in Arizona. That is something I want to make one of my goals. It feels like a big stretch. Maybe it doesn't. But if you were to do that, Donna, first of all, let me ask you, is that something that you might want to set as a serious goal?
Probably not, because money's an issue.
But what if money wasn't an issue?
Okay, if money wasn't an issue, I would buy a place in Arizona. Yes, I would do
that. Yeah, see, that is a part of the goal setting. So, okay, money is an issue. And so because of it, you've already shut off the possibility of that. And there's where it starts, the improbability comes in. You're telling yourself, I'm guessing, that it's not likely to happen, that I don't have the money.
Okay.
But you've shut off the possibility of it happen because of that. So we can play around. So right now it doesn't feel like it's in your future at all. Size and distance, it's really a size issue. This feels really, really big. And so what I might do with you is explore how badly you would really like that and what it would take to get. And one of two things often happens. One is you wake up to the, wow, I actually think I could make this happen if I do set the goals and make some turtle steps to get there. And the other thing that often happens, and don't be surprised with this, guys, is that people are like, yeah, I put that, but when I think about what it would take to make that happen, I'm really not that interested. That's what came to mind. So push back on what people are saying. So with the size and distance, this wasn't about a when, this was more of a how big it feels to you. The next thing when getting these kinds of answers and or goal setting is listen for the emotion around what they are saying. When dreaming about something, like let's say, Donna, you're dreaming about buying a house in Arizona. What sort of emotion does that bring up for you if you allow the emotion to rise up?
Oh, happiness, peacefulness, excitement.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that seems to me to be kind of aligned with what you want. Like it brings joy. So the way I look at it is it's a moving towards goal. You're not trying to avoid something. It's not bringing up fear. It's not bringing up doubt. It's not bringing up shame. It's not bringing up all of that other stuff. The idea of buying a house in Arizona is coming from a place of love and joy, because you're having these positive feelings about it. When clients show up and they have goals and they say, well, this is what I want to happen. I want to make $500,000 by next year, because if I don't, I'm really afraid that this is going to happen. That's what I mean by the emotion. The motivation is to avoid something rather than to move towards something. So when that happens, I either ask them to find a way to reframe it so that they can find within themselves the positive, the moving towards, okay, I want that money so that I can have this. Or we wind up setting another intention, if that makes sense. I've talked a little bit about this before. When your client has an intention or something that they want to achieve, I highly recommend going into the motivation. What is the thing that you think you will get when you get that thing? So, Donna, if you had that house in Arizona, what would that bring you?
It would bring me a place to go and find peacefulness, silence, nature, quiet, things that I tend not to be able to find very often when I'm home.
And so everything that the way you're saying it are things that I'm looking for an emotion now. So peace, silence, nature, an escape. What would having an escape bring you? What is it that you'd like to get as a result of having the escape?
I would be able to, I think, connect with my essential self more often. When I go to Arizona, I find myself, I find things in myself that I tend not to find when I'm home and dealing with everyday life.
Like what?
What
is it for you to be linked or in alignment with your essential self?
Say that question again.
What emotions does it bring up for you when you're aligned with your essential self? What is the feeling of your essential self?
Daring,
mm-hmm.
decisive, creative, courageous.
Cool. So all of these things are things that if I were coaching with you, I would say that the house in Arizona is representing, and we could work on achieving and having those things that you're talking about right now where you are without changing your circumstances. And
oh, but
what
it's not as pretty.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Maybe it's not. But that you didn't ask for pretty. You asked for all.
I know.
You're hoping to get to all of those other things. And my hunch is if you brought those things into your life now, one, you're going to see pretty around you that you're not noticing. And the idea of finding that house in Arizona is going to become even more achievable. It's going to become real because you're going to have a deeper alignment with the things that you hope to get as a result of actually moving to Arizona. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. For me, it's like a vibrational thing. You know, you're looking for a certain vibration, but you've walled it off because you say, I'm never going to be able to have that house. But if I have that house, I would have this certain kind of vibration. So I say, let's work on getting the vibration, and then don't be surprised if having that kind of house suddenly becomes something that's not quite so far away or impossible. That makes sense, right?
It sure does, yeah.
Cool. Sometimes I don't know what words to use, but, you know, when I get all vibration and energy, and I used to hear a lot of people talk like that, and I'd be like, what are they talking about? And now I'm like, those are actually really good words to explain this kind of wordless type thing. So now I say it all the time, and sometimes I hear myself, and I'm like, who's this guy talking? But, yeah, it's a frequency that you're looking for. So, cool. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you guys partner up, give you about 15 minutes to coach one another. Thank you, Donna, for letting me ask you those questions and sharing. And in that time, you can either use the questions that we just asked to find and hone in on a wildly improbable goal. And once you might even just ask, I've seen people just say, so do you have any wildly improbable goals or goals that feel really big? As the coach, I want you to kind of feel into where the edge of the goal is. So if a person says they want to make this much money, see if you can push it a little bit further just to see where the improbability is, just for fun too. Kind of name the goal. And then start to look at ways to make it possible. How do you move it from a goal in square two to finding the very beginning steps of square three, breaking it down into its smallest, most achievable steps? And that's it. 15 minutes, that's not a lot of time, but you'll do what you'll do in that amount of time. So just going on my list, Sarah, would you be the coach for the first round, please? You're muted. I'm going to wait till you unmute just to see.
Sorry, I was muted.
Can you
hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. Sure, I'll give it a try.
Thank you. And Catherine, would you be the client?
Sure.
Awesome. All right, ladies, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Hi, Catherine.
Hey there.
So, Catherine, do you have any any goals that are wildly improbable, any really big goals that you are thinking about?
Well, I've got, starting a coaching business. I don't know, that's probably something we all have in mind. Actually, something that I thought about, this to me sounds really improbable. Move to a remote area with a partner where we have a coaching business, training business, create workshops and retreats.
Okay. So you'd like to move to a remote area with a partner where you open a coaching business and do retreats. And I'm sorry, and what else?
Workshops.
Workshops and workshops.
Okay. Yeah, so with this partner, this has been a dream that I've had on and off for years, so.
Okay. Okay, so Michael, can we coffee talk already?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she's got a goal, and it sounds pretty big to start with. But do I just try to guide her into how to reach that goal, or I guess I'm not sure what it is I do at this point.
Yeah, okay, so I think I know what you're struggling with a little bit. This is where my mind goes. I'm questioning whether it's a goal or not. It feels in this moment like it's a dream, and that doesn't mean that it's not very possible, but it's like something that needs more time incubating around in square two. And that's probably where I would go with her. So what does it look like? What does it feel like? What do you hope you will get as a result of having this thing? Like what is it that it will bring you? Why is it something that you dream on? What do you tell me more about it?
Okay.
I would probably go into that a little bit as well as there was one more obvious question. I just lost it. Well, and then there's the way she said it with a partner. I kind of got the feeling that she doesn't have that aspect of it yet. So is that right, Catherine?
Correct.
Right. So I might even dance around with her a little bit, like what feels more important in this moment. It's not impossible, but my thought is going to a remote area to meet a partner can be difficult, but it happens. So I don't want to say that you have to do one before the other, but I might ask her, you know, which one feels stronger to her right now that, you know, she wants to look into as a possibility, but also just learn more about this dream.
Okay.
Does that help?
Oh, yes, that does help. That does
cool.
help. Okay, Catherine, you said that you wanted to move to a remote area with a partner and open a coaching business. So, and you mentioned that at this point you don't have a partner. When you're speaking of a partner, are you speaking of a life partner or a coaching partner?
More of a life partner.
A life partner. Okay. Okay, and when you're thinking about this move and opening the business, which feels more important to you, finding a partner, a life partner, or opening your coaching business?
I think I need to, like Michael was saying, like break it down. Like first I'd like to have the coaching business, you know,
okay.
And then a partner, and then you know, and then moving.
And then moving. Okay. Okay. So can you envision what this place in the remote area looks like? How it feels?
Yeah, it's, there's, I imagine that it's, you know, somewhere in Washington State. I'm in Washington State, so, somewhere coast, where the weather's same, kind of the same, but maybe out in a, in an area that, you know, it's close to the, it's closer to, just out of the suburbia, out of the traffic and out of all of the craziness that happens here in the Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just, you know, I used to go on a lot of silent retreats. And one of the places I used to go was, up in the San Juan Islands, where it was on the water, and yeah, so just more of a rural lifestyle, just a slower pace. Yeah.
Okay, and let's say it's on one of the islands, you've got water around you. What kind of a building is it? Is it a home? Is it a house? Is it a what's on the grounds?
Yeah, there's a small house. I'm not a I live in a small little house, and I like smallness, so that there's less to take care of. I'm all about being very practical and pragmatic. Yeah, and just, you know, nice landscaping that doesn't need a lot of care. You know, maybe a hammock, you know, places, private places. Right now there's not like any privacy outside. So I guess I just yearn for, being able to be outside, eating, lounging, reading. Yeah. So some area like that, and then maybe a private, you know, a separate building where there could be trainings or private sessions or, you know, things like that.
Okay. So the business part of this vision is in a separate building. So the the small house that you envision and it's nice landscaping and not a lot to care for, but it's comfortable. You've got a hammock, little private places, lounging areas, places to read, which would be your place. And then then you would have a separate place, a separate building for the workshops and the trainings or sessions. Is there anything else on the grounds that you can envision, that you see?
Some big trees. I love trees. Maybe some big cedar trees that provide shading. And, yeah, maybe a dog.
Okay.
Let me stop you for a second, Sarah.
Okay.
I don't know if you realize it, but you're really doing the ideal day tool. Have you watched that video yet, by any chance?
No.
you're doing a version of it, but you're doing it. So I think that's great. And one of the parts of it that is really important is having the person check in with their body. So as she's naming these things, occasionally ask her, how does it feel to be in this place? How do you feel in your body? If you can close your eyes and just look around, you're kind of doing this, but I'm just giving you another way of doing it. Look around and tell me what you see. Imagine your partner there. What's it like to have them there? What's it like to have a program there? Where do the people stay? What's it like to have them on your land? How long do they stay for? What kinds of things are you coaching them on? Whatever comes up in your mind, it's really just let your curiosity and desire to see and feel what she's seeing and feeling guide you. I think one of the things you've already done that I thought was great was at the very beginning you asked if it was a life partner or a business partner. You didn't assume. I mean, I assume that she meant life partner, but the fact that you asked shows that you didn't make the assumption, which leaves room for possibility, which I thought was great. Same kind of thing. Let your curiosity guide you. Notice where you're assuming and ask a question about it to get her perspective. And Catherine, what I'd like you to do while she's asking questions, if you can, kind of relax if you're not relaxed. And if there's anything that you can do to allow yourself to really play in the imaginal state of this thing you've told us you wanted, you know? My marmoset went off when I heard you say it's all about practical. And I get that. I appreciate small homes, and I totally love not having to take care of lots of things. And notice where you're being practical for practical's sake. And if you could have this thing any way you wanted without having all of the work to go with it, what more would you give yourself? So I'll stop there and just let Sarah take it back over.
Okay, Michael, in the end, are we just creating this place in her mind, or am I taking it someplace beyond that?
Well, right now, because, like I said, when you started, it didn't seem like the goal was concrete quite yet. The goal is to play with her in that square two imaginal space. There's a lot of different tools, square two tools you could use, but you're kind of naturally going into, well, let's just imagine in the ideal. So I'd say keep going for that. And the goal is really to see if you can ask questions that will help her realize things about this imaginary ideal that she hasn't yet imagined, so that she can get a little bit of clarity on what it might take to start making it happen. But key, like I said, is frequently bringing her back to the body. Like, how does it feel in this place? What do you smell in this place? The more the imagination feels like reality to her, the better.
Okay. All right, so Catherine, I'd like you to think back into your body and see if you can really allow yourself to be in this place on the island with the water around you and the house and the separate building for your clients. And I would like for you to think about your partner being there, your life partner, and tell me what it's like to have your partner there. How does it feel?
Very peaceful, loving, calm connection. Yeah, just really nice.
Okay, and as you're there with your partner and it's peaceful and loving, what are the smells around you?
The smells. smells of the water, of the salt water.
Mm-hmm.
Of the trees. Yeah, just the fresh air.
Okay.
And how about what you're hearing? What do you hear when you're there? You're outside, in the shade of the trees, looking at the water. What are you hearing?
The lapping of the water on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
Seagulls flying over. Maybe flies, swatting flies.
You know what I might try now?
Okay. What?
Let's bring in. Let's on this day in this ideal place of hers. She said she wanted to host people for a coaching retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Get curious. Pretend that on this day that she's holding a retreat. Who's showing up? What? How many people? What are they showing up for? What are they getting help on? That kind of thing.
Okay. I was heading that way. That's
good. Oh, great. I'm sorry.
That was right.
Looking at the
time. No, that's great. I know. That's great.
You're cool with it?
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, so Catherine, you're there, you're smelling the water, enjoying the breeze and the shade and the birds, and today you're holding a retreat. Can you tell me who's coming to the retreat?
Yeah, there's maybe about a dozen women.
Women, okay.
And it's a mindfulness, a day of mindfulness.
Okay. What kind of a workshop is it, or what kind of a retreat is it?
It's a meditation / listening to your inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And are you leading the retreat, or do you have other teachers that are there?
I'm leading it.
Okay. And I'm curious, where are your the people that are coming to the retreat? Where are they going to be staying?
Good question.
Just feel into the answer. Don't try to problem solve from head.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. Just notice what your heart says they're doing. Where do they stay?
It's intense.
Intense, okay.
Oh, intense. Okay, so intense on your property or intense someplace
else? Yeah.
On the
property. Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Okay. And how do you feel having them on the property in your space?
Yeah, it's good because there's some space between the two, between the house and the business, you know, the retreat, the business building or the retreat place.
Okay. And are your sessions happening inside the building or are they going to be outside?
Both, depending on the weather.
Okay. How about the food? How are you handling what they eat? What happens at lunchtime, dinner time?
Potluck. We organize that ahead of time.
Okay, that's good. Okay. And are they staying for one day, one night, 2 days, one night, 3 days, two nights? How long are these sessions?
Maybe just a Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. And how do they get there? Are they driving their cars? Or do they take a boat?
Yeah.
They drive their cars?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So where do they park the cars when they get to the property?
There's a parking area.
Okay. I'm going to stop you there this time.
And then after,
I'm going to talk a little bit about the ideal day and how things went here in a minute. But the way once this sort of thing ends, it's always great to turn it back to the client and ask them, did anything come up that you were surprised about? Anything stand out or feel really positive to you? Like, give it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
To let them notice what they noticed is really what the goal is. So we'll do that now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just ask Catherine, would anything appear or show up that you were surprised by?
Yeah, the mindfulness and so the topic of the retreat, that was surprising.
What was surprising about it?
That I don't necessarily, the things I think about doing are more concrete and not so, you know, meditative, introspective like that.
So there's a contrast here between when you think with your head about what you want to do, it's more concrete, I'm assuming goal-oriented, this is how you do this kind of thing. And when you drop in and kind of just let the imagination to float you through this, you get this more peaceful, introspective, meditative, you use the word mindful, experience. Certainly there's room for both. But what was the feeling that you got as you noticed that that's what the topic and focus was of this workshop?
The feeling, is that what you said, the feeling?
Yeah, I'm curious, like, where I'm going or what I'm asking is, when I personally plan different topics and workshops, some of them stress me out to no end, and I'm like, and I used to do them anyway, and some of them, you know, are like, that feels like play, or that one feels really easy, or that one feels, yeah, you know, I could pull that one off, but like, that's what I'm looking for. So when you think or feel what it would feel like to run this workshop in your imagination, what does it feel like to you?
Just spacious. Just really spacious and easy. Feels really deep. Just luscious.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, if you just check back in with the feeling of that workshop, and that place, and that partnership, do you get a sense of how far in the future that event was from today?
Maybe a year? Well, doing that workshop, I don't know about the whole surrounding area, the whole, yeah, so I guess that whole, yeah, that would probably be maybe 5 years
now,
out.
But now your head is.
If it's the partner and the.
How do you know, though? I mean, the first answer felt to me like it was your heart, and now it feels like your logistical mind trying to figure out, well, I'm not going to be able to do this by then. And I just want to point that out. You know whether what's true or not. Because the timeline isn't real. It's just a feeling, right? I wanted to get, you know, did you tell me, were you going to say 20 years from now? Or it felt like a year. Just notice that it felt like a year. You may well be closer to all the things that you want than you realize.
Yeah.
Right? And you may have all of those things without actually having those things. You'll have the things that each of those represent. Or you might actually have them. I don't know. I just wanted you to notice the feeling state. So, Sarah, that's really what has to happen at the end. You kind of go back and get their feedback. She gave us some really good stuff. Now the question is, do we turn this into a really concrete goal or not? My sense is, and thought would be to have her go and journal on this experience and journal about what she noticed, journal about what it felt like, journal about what caught her off guard, those sorts of things, and have her come back to me and say, well, what would you like to do with that experience? Do you want to set some goals, or does that feel too soon? That's what I would do right now. How does that feel to you, Catherine, going and just giving yourself some time and space to journal on this experience?
I think that would be really rich.
Okay, cool. And, you know, you can journal in a whole bunch of different ways, right? It could be writing, but it could also be with pictures. It could be with music. It could be whatever really suits your personality. A lot of different ways. So I'll leave that up to you. And then maybe you can get back to Sarah or to somebody and say, hey, you know what? I let myself play in this. And now here are some things that I really want to make happen out of this. And then start moving into sort of steps with that.
Okay. Cool.
Right on. So, Sarah, before I even, you did fantastic. It was great. And it's kind of weird. I don't know if it was created because they kept talking about the ideal day. It used to be something we taught in this practicum, and then we switched it. I think it's an amazing tool and encourage you all to go find out about it a little bit more. But we pretty much did it. But now since we did sort of do it, I feel that I have to give you all – because we kind of sort of did it. I want you to know how to do it. This is how to do it properly. What I start doing is I ask my client to relax and to close their eyes. I slow my voice down and I drop my energy down. I ask them to take a few deep breaths in through their nose and release out through their mouth. And depending on the client, sometimes I do those breaths multiple times. Sometimes I lead them through a deeper, more complex meditation. But I'm almost dropping them into the same frequency as when they're dreaming. And then I invite them to open their eyes in their mind's eye, not in reality, but in the picture show in their head. In a typical day in the future, and it's their ideal day. and I'd like them to start walking me through their day. And I might have to give them a few questions to guide them. So I will ask things like, I'd like you to wake up, and the first thing I want you to tell me is, how do you feel in this ideal day? This is your ideal. What does it feel like to wake up in your ideal day? Where are you? Where are you waking up? Describe the room that you're in. Is anybody with you, or are you alone? And then I'll say, when you're ready, I want you to get out of bed and walk me through your day. And a part of our job as coaches, besides taking incredibly copious notes, it's the most note-taking you'll probably ever do. So if you can record the call, that makes it a lot easier. The job becomes kind of helping control the pacing a little bit. If they're like, well, I get out of bed, I put on one slipper, then I put on the other slipper, then I walk to the bath, you kind of want to speed them up a little bit, or you'll never get through a whole day. And the truth is, the client is probably trying to figure out what pacing you want from them too. So, you know, they're a willing participant. And then sometimes they're like, well, I get out of bed, I go have lunch, then I'm going to go for a jog. You got to slow them down, right? So be like, hey, it's okay. I just want you to slow down a little bit. What's the first thing you'd like to do in the morning in your ideal day? You know, you go to the bathroom, I understand all that, but what? Do you get dressed first? Do you go have breakfast? You know, and then with coaches, it's like I go down, I have my coffee, I journal. Like there's a lot of typical things with out people in our tribe. It's kind of fun to hear over and over. Where do they live? What does the home look like? How long do they spend in the morning? Who's there with them? Are there children? What do they do? That kind of thing. And then every now and then check in with what is the feeling state that they're in, to notice the physical environment and describe it, to notice who they're interacting with. And the thing about the ideal day is it is a typical ideal day. So it's not vacation. For coaches, for example, it's like, oh, you know, I'm going to have 4 clients today. But 2 of them I'm going to work with privately, and then 2 of them are coming together in a group session. So whatever, you know. Try to get an idea of how the day is structured. What are the meals? What are they eating? What are the things that they do for themselves? Notice, sometimes they push back. Sometimes a person in their ideal, like, has no spaciousness. Like, they have a packed schedule. And I'll ask, is that what you want your ideal day to be? Like, where you're just going session after session after session, or from thing to thing to thing. And some people say, yes, I would love that. And other people are like, oh, yeah, you're right. It is my ideal. And look, I'm making myself work harder than I work in my real life. So, yeah, no, I only want this much time to work and then this much time to play. They walk you through the whole day. It ends with them going back to bed at night, head on the pillow, and then it's over. And then I invite them to sit up. And just like we did with Catherine, I say, so what did you notice? What was that like for you? Typically, it can last between a half hour and 50 minutes. It could go further, longer sometimes than I have. But man, it is often a remarkable experience for them. And it is an incredible touchstone for you, filled with both limiting beliefs as well as wildly improbable goals that can serve you as a coach and them as a client for many, many, many sessions. And I still have clients who I worked with 8 years ago who are like, that one session just blew my mind. And I didn't really do anything except listen to their ideal day. Mm. You know, and they have this incredible touchstone for what their imagination knows is possible in their life when they have so many things in their waking life telling them it's impossible. But just the fact that they could imagine it, in my opinion, means it can actually happen. So I apologize if in a future class you have to, you hear this over again from another instructor, but it will be worth it, I promise. And I know there are, I'm 90% sure anyway, that there's a video on this and the list of videos, but I know they didn't get rid of the tool. They just moved it somewhere else, and that I don't remember where. But what we saw Sarah doing was pretty much that, and I'm just giving a little bit more structure to it. So having heard what I just said and knowing what it was like for you, Sarah, I'd love to hear how your experience was with Catherine.
Actually, it was good. I have to admit I was not prepared to coach tonight, and I haven't done that much work this week. I got sick, and anyway, I was caught a little off guard. And I think what I was doing when I started was almost going back to the living space, describe. And I think that that's where I kind of jumped off from. I got such a good feel for what she was imagining. It sounds like a wonderful place and a very doable place. And I appreciate then you're helping me to pull it back to, how did that feel for her and how far in the future? I thought that was a great question. And I agree. When she said 1 year, I thought, wow, that's really soon. And that's really what she wants. And also that she said that she was surprised at the mindfulness and the meditation part of it. I feel like that was her essential self telling her that that's really where her medicine is and what she ultimately might want to do.
Mm-hmm. It could be where her medicine is. It could also be what she needs more of. Sometimes what comes up in these like that is like with the ideal day, very often when people talk about, oh, there's all these pillows around and lovely blankets and the walls are the symbols of rest. Rest, rest, rest keep showing up in this ideal day. And then it's a good question to ask. So I noticed a lot of restful things showed up in your ideal day. Is that something you need more of? And they're like, oh, God, yes. So I'm not saying that Catherine needs more mindfulness, but it's a possibility. Maybe that's, something inside is kind of pointing her in that direction. It may be something she wants to teach others. It may not, but as her coach, that would be something that I would ask her about. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I want to challenge you on something. I was not prepared to coach tonight. Is that true?
Yes.
How so?
Just because at the last minute, I happened to look on the learning site and noticed that there was a handout that I hadn't looked at, and I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't read all the material yet, and I'm going to miss something here. And as I said, I was sick. I was in bed for 2 days, and so I didn't get my normal, I just wasn't prepared.
I'm going to challenge you on that. In kindness and love, my invite to you is to never say that again. You can say it if you want, but you are always prepared to coach. Even if that means saying, I don't know what to tell you, Catherine, but I am able to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do believe that you will always know what to do if you can just drop into your place of peace. You will always know what to do, even if that means saying, I'm not sure how to help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's you knowing what to do. Does that make sense? I know it's kind of contradictory, but when I started giving myself that kind of permission, like, Michael, just trust yourself. You really do. You're always prepared. You just have to listen to what the answer is. It took a huge amount of pressure off of me, and I found that I was able to serve people so much better, and as a result, became so much more confident in my ability to coach, which then allowed me to come up with answers that I didn't even know I had, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Doesn't mean not to learn these tools. Keep learning them.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that you are prepared. Take it for what it's worth.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you
for stepping mm-hmm. in. Yep. Okay, we have about 20 minutes left. Let's see if we can get through another pair. So, who's he going to call on? I don't know. Gina, have you coached yet in this cohort or practicum? I don't have you down.
I haven't coached with you, no.
Would you mind, please?
Sure, I can try. I'm kind of in the same situation, but sure.
What same situation? Prepared?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. That's what I like to hear. All right, so Gina, before I put you out there, what is the feeling that you're feeling about getting on and coaching?
Last time I felt like I screwed up big time.
Boy, screwed up again? When did you screw up before?
No, when I got, I think throughout this whole thing, like I was coached once or twice. I coached once, and the one time I coached, I just felt like I totally screwed up and got cut off and have been hesitant to do it since.
Yeah, I get that. I do get that. So what can we do to set you up to feeling more confident and doing, yeah, making this feel more achievable?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Well, only you can tell me. I think it was this class, right? Wasn't it last week that, or was it the day class, where we had the conversation with someone and I had said to them, the person had learned a few things that would make being the coach easier for them, more achievable. And I recommended that the next time they go into a session, that they ask for what they need as a coach to make it more achievable. So one of the things, just like setting turtle steps, that we did was we said, okay, and watch, we'll do it with you, Gina, just to show you how you can do it for yourself. First, we have to pick a client. So is there somebody willing to be a client tonight?
I can do it, Michael.
Who's that, Russ?
It's Alan.
Oh, Alan. Thank you very much, Alan. Okay, so Alan, you're going to be the client. And Gina, the first piece of this is, well, just because we're in the workshop, we're going to kind of poke around at some wildly improbable goals. So Gina, what's a couple ways that you might start with Alan about looking at that?
Well, usually I just kind of start, hey, what do you want to work on today? Is there any big goal? And then I would probably lead into, hey, is there any big goals you want to talk about?
Okay. You feel confident with that?
Sure.
That doesn't sound confident. Are you sure? I mean, it sounds like the first time you said it, those great questions. That sounded confident. But then when I asked you, do you feel confident, then it didn't feel confident.
I don't like to talk in front of groups.
I don't either, most of the time. I get it. So what would make you feel more comfortable, even though you're going to talk in front of a group? Even just a teeny bit more comfortable. Like, you could tell me, Michael, shut up and let me just get on with it. That would make me feel more comfortable.
It's fine. It's fine.
I'm going to take that as Michael, shut up and just let me answer my question. All right. So step one, just check in with Russ and see if he has some goals he'd like to explore. Go for it.
Alan, right?
Alan. Yes, God, I'm sorry. I do that all the time.
That's okay.
I'm so embarrassed. I hate talking in front of groups.
All right, Alan, how's it going today?
It's going all right, thanks.
Good. Is there anything you wanted to work on today?
Yeah. This might be really huge, but it's definitely been a goal for a long time, and it has always seemed improbable, but it's to deal with getting myself out of my debt.
Why does that seem improbable?
Because I've carried it around for my whole life, you know. And
mm-hmm.
no matter what I've tried, it never has seemed like I've made any headway. It hasn't made any headway.
Right. I can probably, what would be, what's been your motivation in the past for getting out of debt?
I mean, you know, on a feeling state level, it's just a weight, it's a burden. It makes me feel really heavy when I think of it, or when I try to deal with it. And, you know, on a practical level, there are things that, you know, things I want to do that cost money, and having to, you know, monthly trying to take care of the debt is kind of a big portion of what my earnings go to. So it doesn't leave me a lot of room.
I want to stop you for a second and just coffee talk with Gina, if that's okay, Alan.
Yeah.
Gina?
Mm-hmm.
Great question. What's the motivation for getting out of debt? And what's the first thing that you heard from him?
That's a burden.
Yeah, kind of like he doesn't want the burden anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's bringing up the painful piece. So he's trying to get away from the pain is the motivation. Not, I didn't hear trying to get towards the feeling of freedom or whatever he hopes. So that's where I might ask him something like, oh, you know, I reflect back, I hear that. So getting out of the painful feeling is one side, but what is it that you're trying to get into? What would being debt-free bring you that you don't already have? Let's see what his answer is to that. And you don't have to re-ask it, Alan. Can you just tell us what being debt-free would bring you in your belief? Yeah.
I mean, the feeling, I imagine, is really freedom. You know, freedom from – it's just a free feeling, free to choose – what I want to do with my money.
Cool. Okay, Gina.
Freedom to create more experience for myself.
Hmm.
Free to help more people, whether it's creating something for them or, you know, donating money to them.
Were you going to say something, Michael?
I was, Alan, I want to respect the fact that this is a big thing, and I can imagine how it feels for you. I get the mm-hmm. sense that this is something you really want to figure out. Mm-hmm. And so me going to, this is a big thing for Gina too. And I want to balance that. So I just want to make sure you know I respect what the experience is for you. And I'm going to turn to Gina
completely.
For a second. Cool, thank you. So... already, there was a little bit of a hesitation. Did you see that, Gina, where it was like, what is it that you think that this will bring you by being away from it? He had to think about it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think the focus has been on the negative for a long time. And this is the first opportunity that, well, I don't know for sure, but when asked, he had to kind of, well, what is it that I really want out of this? And it's freedom. And he gave a couple of, you know, freedom for more experience, freedom for more choice, freedom to create more, freedom to give people more, all really beautiful things, which I have a hunch whether he gets out of debt or not, he's actually capable of moving into those things. But freedom is a concept. So because of the hesitation around freedom, this is where I would say, well, what does he mean by freedom? What you can ask them straight up, what do you mean by freedom? What does freedom feel like in your body? How do you know when you feel freedom? What are other things in your life that give you freedom now or have given you freedom in the past? So maybe take 2 minutes to just explore freedom with him. Sound good?
Okay.
Cool.
And Alan, can you say more about what freedom feels like to you? And you gave us several examples, but what does it feel like?
Man, when I think about it, it's like the thought, there's always the thought that, shit, this is just still here. And I guess, a lot of it's just like, fuck, man, I fucked my life up. I really fucked this shit up pretty good. So it's moving away from that into it's moving away from that into I don't know. It's like the I feel like that ties me to my to some sort of past or something. Like I can't seem to move forward without that being continuously in my thoughts.
Great. I'm going to stop you there for a second. Gina, what are you noticing?
Okay. Kind of going back to negative thoughts, and I was going to, I'm still struggling how to phrase it, but I was going to ask, or just say kind of like, I have a hunch that maybe you're trying to move away from the emotion and the feeling when you should move, that you're avoiding it, that you should move towards it to solve your problem.
Okay, but help me understand what you mean by he's moving away from what feeling?
Well, he specifically said trying to get away from the pain, feeling like he wants to move away from it.
Okay, gotcha. So he's avoiding the I fucked up my life feeling.
Yeah.
Great. That's definitely a place you could go, and you could use the work for it. I mean, I wrote that down too in quotes. I fucked up my life. That feels really real to him. I don't know about you, but for me, when I tell myself that story, and I have told myself that story, I can accomplish or change nothing. Do you know what I mean? It's a really hard thing to create change from. I'm a fuck up, or I fucked up my life, or this is fucking whatever F word you want to throw in there and however you want to use it. It's a very difficult place to make changes from. And twice now, Alan's gone back to that place when we ask him, what's freedom? Right? And I don't mean to laugh at it. I just, it's look at that. It's like, I know Martha talks about it, like the old brain patterns just don't want to give up their place. And we're confronting him with that. So yes, going into that, like you said, is a very reasonable place. Another possibility, and it's not better or worse, it's you use your instinct, would be to keep pushing what freedom feels like. Go help him find a place where he remembers feeling free. Maybe before there was ever any debt. Maybe as far back as childhood.
I thought about that, kind of using kind of the body compass. Think of the time when you had freedom and describe what it felt like.
Totally. And so if those are two possibilities, now Alan's heard us talking about them, can also use the wisdom of your client. So Alan, and this is where, like when I was saying, it's not about you being prepared. All you have to really, really do with good coaching, I think, is show up and listen and remember that your client is the expert on them. So, Alan, there's these two possibilities you heard us talking about. Exploring the painful story that you tell yourself when you face trying to get yourself out of debt, and the contrasting story, which is the thing that you hope to achieve, which is freedom. And every time we ask you about freedom, you boomerang back into the I messed up. From where you're sitting right now, would you like to go down the I screwed up path, or would you like to explore the what freedom feels like path? What feels fruitful to you?
The freedom path.
Okay, cool. Knowing that it might lead us right to the I fucked up path, but...
yeah.
It might. And
curious.
It's true, right?
Yeah.
So am I. And the truth is that they both may have... They're both going to have to be looked at anyway. But... You know, the other thing you're doing when you do this, Gina, like by bringing your client, where do you want to go with this? What would you, you're helping them actually, we're actually programming or reprogramming Alan to see that he has choices and control in all of this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is he's going to have to make choices and take control in order to make changes. But the knight on the white shining horse is not going to show up and do this for him. At least I don't think so. So freedom. Gino, how can we start to explore freedom with him, knowing that he likes the boomerang?
Well, I was going to, kind of what I said before, Alan, if you want to close your eyes and get comfortable for a minute, take a few deep breaths, and then think of a time or a place where you felt freedom. Think of where you were at. Think of maybe who you were with. Check in with the weather. Do you have something in mind?
I do. When I was in high school, I was just outside a lot. I went to a private high school, and there was this program called the Wilderness Guides, which I was part of. And it was a multi-year thing, and we had, like, you know, there were a lot of skills you had to check off of this thing. So we learned a lot of wilderness survival stuff and just being outdoors, and I rock climbed a lot. And I think one of the most free times I've ever felt in my life, I've wondered if, you know, it almost feels like original medicine to me in some way, but I can't explain it. I was on this climb that was harder than anything I'd ever climbed before, but somehow I knew I could do it. I looked at it. I'd never climbed it before. I'd never seen anyone climb it before. But there was just something that said, I can do it. So I started up it, and it was easy, easier than anything I'd ever done before. And I was just in this state where there was great strength without trying, where everything was slow. And there was even a point where, you know, we're young kids. So there's a point where I was on the face of the rock and a little piece of rock fell off. It's just like a little pebble. And I didn't even know. And it rolled down the rock face and kind of landed by my best friend at the time and one of our other rock climbing buddies. And when something like that happens, you're supposed to yell rock. And because I didn't even realize it had come off. It's this tiny pebble, I guess. You know, my, I'm not sure who it was, but they yelled, "Hey, stop throwing rocks down here." And they pulled on my rope and it didn't bug me at all. Like it didn't fluster me. I just noticed that they pulled me and I kept climbing and I finished it. And that was one of the most free times I've ever felt.
Okay, great story. I actually wrote by myself. So what are any maybe body sensations you notice, especially when you reach the top?
Perfect. It wasn't even like a celebration. It was just like an inevitability.
So wait, I just want to, because we're very low on time. That was the.
Can I ask my last question?
Well, no. This question needs to be answered because it was spot on, in my opinion. And again, freedom's kind of a concept. So, Alan, if you can remember what that felt like in your body. And this is where you might have to prime the pump a little bit, Gina. You know, was your body heavy or light? Was it expansive or contracted? Was like that? We're looking for the actual characteristics of freedom for you.
It felt very expansive and very connected. And solid in each step. Without being heavy, like purposeful.
Mm-hmm. Great. All really clear. And you can even get, like, if you can imagine in that moment that freedom had a texture, what would the texture be?
I feel waves.
Waves. If it had a color, what would the color be? Just let whatever comes up, come up.
It's bright orange.
Bright orange, great. So I would keep going with this line of questioning just to get as many kind of compass bearings on what freedom was like for him in that moment. Gina, what was your next question going to be?
Explain for you a little bit more, but I wanted to get to, so if we kind of shifted to maybe a metaphor where debt is your rock climb and you wanted to feel that same feeling of freedom, what would that rock climb need to look like? And maybe that's too fast to ask that, but that was a question I thought of.
I think that's an amazing question. I would keep exploring the sensations just a teeny bit more, but I think the metaphor, switching into the metaphor tool, brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I have a feeling you guys could go in and on that because you have rock climbing experience too. It would be amazing. And because it's now half past the hour, I'm going to stop us. But I want to say, well, quickly, Gina, how are you feeling?
Better about coaching on the phone in front of people.
Yeah, good. Please drop that story. I'm not prepared. You did a brilliant job. And you were coming up with all kinds of great questions. Just turtle step it, one step at a time. Say hello to the client. Get curious. Notice what you're feeling. Step by step by step. You had some amazing questions and your instinct to go into certain tools. Fantastic. Alan,
mm-hmm.
How are you feeling actually?
It has taken me a lot to get this out there, especially in front of people, but I feel I feel way better for being coached on it, even the little bit we did.
Yeah, we haven't even scratched the surface in the time that we had.
Yeah.
I can totally get why this feels like a wildly improbable goal without even knowing the actual details. But I believe it feels wildly improbable because of how you kept swinging back into the I screwed up. I honestly mm-hmm. really hope that you will work on that with a coaching buddy, the I screwed up my life. Come on. Is that true? I get that it feels like that, and we already know where that answer is going to be in the end of, you know, four questions and a turnaround. And put that energy into what freedom feels like. See where you are experiencing it now and ways that you can bring little bits of it more and more into your life and start working on the debt challenge from that place of freedom. How would somebody who's completely free focus on working on their debt? And I know that might sound like a contradiction, but I don't think it is. So I'm going to leave you there, and if you could continue this with Gina, I think she's got your number. So
great.
I think it's something that's totally achievable. Thank you for being brave and sharing that and letting us work on this with you in such a short period of time.
Yeah. Thanks, Gina. That was great.
All right, thanks.
Cool. You guys rock the house. I have had a lot of fun working with you all. I wish you well on the rest of your practicum. Hope to see you at the other side. And I'll also probably see some of you in Austin if you're going to be there. So come say hi. Have a great night, and I'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye.